Have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Over the weekend, Israel launching what it's calling the second phase of its latest war against Hamas. ABC's Justin Finch reports from Washington.
The Israeli Defense Force is bolstering its Gaza ground offensive against Hamas militants, dispatching armored tanks into the Palestinian territory. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying Israel is now in an expanded second phase of war. The Israeli PM and President Biden speaking via phone, with Biden saying Israel needs to defend itself in a manner consistent with international humanitarian law.
Anti-Israel protesters storming an airport tarmac in western Russia. Hundreds of people surrounding a flight from Tel Aviv after it landed in Dagestan, a primarily Muslim region, throwing rocks, 60 people arrested. The Los Angeles County coroner waiting for a toxicology report to determine the cause of death of Friends actor Matthew Perry. This is ABC News. 2 weeks after he disappeared during what was supposed to be a three-day fishing trip, one man has been found. It's raising hopes that his partner may be found too. The man discovered in a life raft by a Canadian man and his nephew while out on the Pacific Ocean near the border with Washington.
Now the fishermen are turning their focus to his partner, who is still missing at sea. The Coast Guard made the very tough decision to call off that search a few days ago, but the fishermen say they are looking out for him too, and they are hoping.
That's ABC's Zareen Shaw. The man says his boat was flipped by a wave and he survived the last couple of weeks on salmon he caught. Moviegoers looking for a scare this weekend and scaring up some big money for a new flick.
Welcome to Freddy's. Have you met them yet?
Met who?
Five Nights at Freddy's, based on the hit series of horror games, earned around $78 million in its debut weekend. That's the biggest first weekend for a horror movie this year. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pay raises for district attorneys and public defenders appear to be having the desired effect. Vacancies are down since the raises went into effect July 1st. Wisconsin District Attorneys Association President Eric Tony tells Wisconsin Public Radio that morale is also better. Public defenders say much the same about retention and morale. Now, Tony says he wants lawmakers to create more prosecutor jobs to help lighten the workload. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Takeback Day in Wisconsin. People who have old prescription drugs sitting around the medicine cabinet can bring them to one of 140 events happening around the state. There are also nearly 500 drop boxes where people can leave their old medicine anytime. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin is consistently one of the national leaders in the safety effort, and it makes a difference. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers lose to the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lose to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Green Bay charged with 9 penalties, a loss of 99 yards, disrupting their offense. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
That was obviously tough to watch.
you know, just way too many mistakes.
The Vikings improved to 4-4, a game behind the Lions, but Minnesota has likely lost quarterback Kirk Cousins due to a torn Achilles tendon. NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Hawks last night 127-110 in Milwaukee. Head coach Adrian Griffin on what the Bucks tried to do to stop the Hawks shooters and guard Trae Young.
We tried a little bit of everything. You know, he's a great player.
And the Badgers losing to Ohio State Saturday night 24-10 at Camp Randall. Quarterback Braden Locke asked if it was less disappointing losing to a team ranked third in the nation.
Thought it was an incredible atmosphere tonight, and you know, everybody wanted to get it done, and it sucks that we didn't.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. 35 today, under cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, snow likely 24. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 21.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show.
Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. Your home of-
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday, October 30th. Happy birthday, Samantha. And yeah, it's me with a happy birthday to another daughter, not the one I said happy birthday to on Friday. We just like to lump birthdays together in the family, I guess. Anyway, it's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app or by podcast or on social media. Very nice to have you here in the state of Wisconsin Sense, where we unpack the news each morning. And at 6:07, let's tell you what's on tap for this Monday. First off, the pack is back. And by that, I mean the 1970s pack is back. You see, if you've only seen one era of the Green Bay Packers, the era with guys like Favre and Rodgers behind center, you may not appreciate the sense of deja vu being felt by your elders as a four-game losing streak rekindles memories of bell bottoms, 8-track tapes, and pet rocks. We're also going to mark the passing of Matthew Perry and some other headlines from the weekend. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly later this hour. Then in our second hour, Missy Hughes of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation joins us to talk about Wisconsin being named a national technology hub and the potential launch pad that that could be to the state's economic future. Looking forward to talking about that very much. We'll get the forecast from Jennifer Vucicki as well from Weatherology. And along the way, if you'd like to join us, our studio number, 844-967-2789, or you can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on Facebook on one of the several pages where you can see the live video feed of this radio show, put a comment right there. We may pick it up, put it up on screen. What I'm putting up on screen right now for the people watching the video feed are the 6 a.m. temperatures, and they are 30 degrees colder than they were this time Friday when we visited. And in fact, none of them are even at 30 degrees Fahrenheit. It is 23 up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward is reporting 20 degrees. Wausau, 25. Green Bay, 28. La Crosse, 28 degrees right now. Wisconsin Rapids, 25. Madison's at 28. Park Falls, 19 degrees right now. In Oshkosh, it's 28. And in Waukesha, it's 27. And I save Waukesha for last, and I will from now on, because that's where we go right after we read these temperatures, to check in with our new producer, board operator, a guy by the name of Greg Bach. If it sounds familiar, it's because you've listened to As Goes Wisconsin. But that's a show that starts, you know, in the mid to late morning. Getting Greg Bach up this early in the morning makes me sure that we're about to hear something along the lines of Admiral Stockdale in that presidential debate going, who am I? Why am I here? Let's see if he knows. Greg Bach, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm so tired.
Well, here he is. He did make it.
This hurts. It's too early. Too early.
The thing about Greg that I know, and I don't know a lot, we're going to learn here, but I know that he engages in stand-up comedy and works with comedians, and I've never been to a comedy club at 6 o'clock in the morning, and most people in that world aren't up that early. Greg, in all seriousness, it is so nice to have you here, but how the heck did they talk you into this?
Well, you know, that Luke Mathers, he's a smooth talker. He's a guy who's like, hey, let me put forth a situation for you. And he laid out the whole thing, and he said, you want to do 6 a.m. to 8 a.m.? I said, no. But he said, you'd be working with Pat Kreitler. I said, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. That's sweet. That's a complete work of fiction.
And the
fact that Luke Mathers, you make him sound like a mafia boss, like he can just say, come here, I have an offer for you. He's not that big a guy. He's not that imposing, but he's got a way. He's got a charm about him. So
it should be a shame if something would have happened to your Lego sets. I'm just saying, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., that's fun.
That's a nice Chris Stapleton beard there. It'd be a shame if you woke up and half of it was gone, you know, like Khartoum's horse's head in the bed there.
Oh.
Good morning, Casey, who puts on Facebook. Good morning. Have a great week. Stay warm. I needed just a little bit more time before it got this cold. Amen, Casey.
Yeah.
Amen. We would have all liked that. Folks wondering if you missed it on Friday. Yeah, we talked about how the Civic Media Network is just growing by leaps and bounds. And for Madison, that included getting now their own local show, the John and Gordy Show, which is going as we speak over on the Madison station, which is where Sam now is and where Aaron is over in the Madison studio. Greg is part of the fun on As Goes Wisconsin and somehow has been conned or threatened into getting up earlier and starting the day with all of us. So I've mentioned the comedy part, but yeah. Beyond that, why don't you go ahead and give the brief bio on who you are, where you're from, and what you want people to know about you?
Well, actually, what's great about being in Waukesha is this is where I'm from. I'm born and raised here in the city. I went to school here. Shout out St. Mary's, St. Joe's, CMH, Catholic Memorial High School. I am a comedian. I've been doing comedy in some form or another for almost 20 years now. And I'm a co-owner of a club here in Milwaukee called The Laughing Tap, which is a great, I'm wearing a hoodie right now because it's cold and I love branding. But yeah, so, you know, and working for Civic Media and I got my start here being the Wednesday co-host with Kristen Bry. That was really fun. And then one day the opportunity opened up for me to come work for the company and I've honestly been loving it ever since. So it's great to be here. And Pat, you may not be able to take a compliment because you are a good Midwestern boy, but it is truly, I'm very excited to be working on the show with you.
Oh, right back at you. And I whenever I could appear with Kristen and Jane and you on As Goes Wisconsin, that was always a treat.
Yeah.
Kristen knows how much of a fan I am of hers, but she also knows how insanely jealous I am that being down there, she was able to find Jane and she was able to find you and put together just this wonderful base for a show. And so any chance I get to, you know, tap into some of that talent, I will selfishly take every time. So you enjoy this. We're going to try to make this as fun for you as it already is for me.
Excellent.
But I have an excuse. I'm in what I tell the audience is my elderly adolescence. I'm used to getting up at 4:15 is like not a big problem for me. So I'm going to try to make you feel as welcome as possible for having to get up this gosh darn early. So thank you for doing that.
I appreciate it, Pat.
You know, you just jump in any old time that I'm
I'm screwing up here. tell you right now that the Up North News daily newsletter is out, comes out about 5 o'clock every morning, and you can sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. I was just looking at what Christina Lurie put together. We'll talk to Christina tomorrow. Let's see, she talks about some last minute Wisconsin themed Halloween costumes that you can have. Where are some of the best pumpkin pies in Wisconsin? And then there's my column on the farm bill and whether Congressman Derek Van Orden in the 3rd District is doing all that he can for the 3rd District, for the farmers there, when it comes to crafting together a farm bill. So for that and much more, sign up for a newsletter over at the website upnorthnewswi.com. It's time to talk sports here, and I don't know that we're really ready to do that, only because not only the Packers, but the Bucks seemed to have come upon a theme this week, and I believe the theme is called Crash and Burn or something like that. I liked that somebody, Greg, online mentioned that they said, oh, I get it, they said around the third quarter. I get it. They're dressed up for Halloween as the 1988 Packers. And that sounded... And then not 5 minutes after that came some kind of a stat from the Chiron up on screen. And it was some stat that I forget if it was lowest points in a quarter or most penalties in a quarter or whatever since the 1988 Packers. So we are in fact going back to the future. It appears.
Was anyone dressed up like Coach Forrest Gregg?
Oh, hey, that would be seeing that scowl on the sidelines again would be something. Packers, if you missed it, lost to the Minnesota Vikings 24-10. Penalties galore. Another sickeningly slow start with, I don't know if it's Jordan Love or if it's the receivers that can't get separated, but just too many of these dink and doink, 3-yard screen passes along the way. You can tell Aaron Jones is still, fragile the way they're using or not using him. The Vikings did lose Kirk Cousins, looks to be a torn Achilles during a sack late in the game. But the Packers are going to have to figure it out because they're right back at home at Lambeau Field next Sunday at noon, taking on the LA Rams. Meanwhile, the Bucks. Well, the Atlanta Hawks were in town, and they limited Damian Lillard to 6 points while routing the listless Bucks 127-110 last night for Atlanta's first victory of the season. I can't say that I had the game on for the last 3, 4, 5 minutes of the first half, and I was out. The team looked like they were sleepwalking right through the game. Atlanta was up 20 points at that point, and it never did get any better. Lillard, who had scored 39 points in his Bucks debut on Thursday, failed to score in the first half, missing all 7 of his shots, including 4 from three-point land. He committed 6 of the team's 9 turnovers. Bucks coach Adrian Griffin said the team needs to be better at making adjustments when Lillard is double-teamed, to which I'd say, Greg, not being a basketball expert, yeah, you think?
those are, you know what else they should do, Pat? I think they should take that ball, they should put it in the hoop every time.
There you go. I like that.
That's my coaching. I just put the ball in the hoop, you're going to win every time.
The Bucks are at home tonight again versus the Miami Heat, then they're at Toronto on Wednesday, and then back home Friday against the Knicks. Badger football team had a respectable showing, but a loss nevertheless to Ohio State. The Badger women's volleyball team had a straight set victory over the Minnesota Gophers. They'd also won Friday at Michigan State. But one last note about the Gophers and the Badgers. The Badger men's hockey team swept the number one ranked Gophers on the road in Minnesota. So that now has them 7-1 to start the season. The first time that's happened since the year 2000. Their next match is at home this coming Friday and Saturday against 6th-ranked Michigan. And Game 3 of the World Series starts in Arizona tonight. The series is tied at 1 game apiece between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Texas Rangers. All right, we'll take a pause here. When we come back, we'll start to unpack the news a bit. A very busy weekend of news, and so we're happy to have you along on a Monday morning, along with Greg Bach. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. Because they teach students they're about to.
Later in the hour, in today's history lesson and music break, why we're playing Marvin Gaye and why we could play all sorts of Motown hits, and tell you all about the superstar production team of Holland Dozier Holland. That's coming up just a little later on in this hour. Again, Greg Bach joining us from Waukesha, and I'm going to keep him here to start the news because, again, while there's no shortage of political stories and international stories we could start with, the fact of the matter is so many folks are still kind of dealing with the news of the passing of Matthew Perry. A comedic superstar. Friends will be a legendary sitcom in television history. We were very well aware of Matthew Perry's struggles with addiction, but it makes the news no less shocking, Greg.
I agree. I mean, the thing about his addiction and the things I saw people posting like he lived a troubled life, and that's true. He went through a lot, but he really worked hard to make changes in his life. And not only did he do that, but he also worked really hard to help those going through the same thing. Like at one point he just opened up his home in Los Angeles to people struggling who needed a place to stay, and they could stay there. They could get the help they needed. They could recover. And I feel like, well, one, you're right. Comedic, absolutely. I mean, he was so funny. He was so funny. And I was shocked and far more sad than I expected to be when I found out, because he was 54.
Yeah. Yeah. He put out that memoir, about a year ago or so, and did interviews. And so we again admired his honesty and his candor, but we've also come to learn, once we had absorbed the news, that the way that he wanted to be remembered was not for the acting, but for the recognition of his problems and his desire to try to help other people.
Yeah.
And the sad fact is, there will be people whose lives will be saved because of this. They will hear the news. They will see the sadness. They will look at that bottle, whether it's got brown fluid in it or pills, and they'll say, that's it. That's enough of that. And we won't know till, I don't know, maybe years down the road, somebody will be famous and they'll go, yeah, I should be dead. But after Matthew Perry passed away, and it's a terrible price to pay. But again, we can always have the body of his work. We can always have, as I put up on social media, I said, I don't think it's too soon to say this, and you have to emphasize it in the capital letters in your post. Could I be any more bummed out that Matthew Perry has passed away? Which is one of those things that just falls right off the tongue now. But, it was
he really took that kind of phrase and turned it into something that is now just universal.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of phrases where you go, where did that come from? Or how did that originate? This one, Matthew Perry, is what made it that way. And then over the weekend, again, now this was not as unexpected, but we also lost Richard Mull, the character actor who found lasting fame as Bull, the eccentric but gentle giant bailiff on the original Night Court sitcom, passed away at his California home late last week at the age of 80. For the young folks out there, he was on the original Night Court from 1984 to 1992, alongside the late Harry Anderson, the late Marky Post, and John Larroquette. Have you, and I don't know that I can add much more about that, except that, again, as a big, big fan of the original Night Court, you know, I mean, Harry was great. They were all great, but, you know, Richard was one of those, you take out the Bull character and it just wouldn't be the same.
I mean, yeah, Bull was amazing. And the thing I loved about Bull and Dan Fielding, John Larroquette's character, had the same thing too, is you had these typical tropes they would operate in within the show. You know, Dan was a womanizer, Bull was dumb, but then they'd have these moments in the show where they just got to show off their emotional range and really bring something to the character. And you loved Bull. You didn't want, like, Bull was twice as tall as you, but you wanted to protect him. And that's what I loved about his, and all three of the bailiffs they had on the show, all the women who played the bailiffs, I loved how protective they always were of Bull, because he was just so kind and nice and sweet, and it would come through that gigantic bald dome of his.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Marsha Warfield as Roz was, again, just stellar. And I'm one of those that, I have not, you know, the reboot with Melissa Rauch is getting mixed reviews. I'm liking it. I don't think I would like it if it were original, if this were the first time I were seeing a Night Court. But John Larroquette, he still got it.
Oh,
I mean, he's just still got it. And I don't mind the reboot. There's a bailiff character there who, for me, is not quite getting it done. It's funny that you say the bailiff characters, because that to me is the weakest link in the reboot. And I say this without even knowing if it's coming back, if it's coming back for a second season. I think it is, as a mid-season replacement at some point. But again, we've had this writer's strike and actor strike, so who knows where you're going to find anything. But again, it was just so great to see that. So it's always odd to see, you know, sitcom stars go away. But again, you know, we wish them happy trails and all the best to them. All right, it is 6:26 right now. Let's unpack the news a little bit. And again, if you have any kind of feedback or questions you want to share, the studio number is 844-967-2789. Happy to have you along here. Late last week, there was a decision that came out by a Dane County judge that said that a vote by the Republican-controlled state Senate last month to, quote-unquote, fire Megan Wolf, the state's nonpartisan top elections official, had no legal effect. And as a result, Megan Wolf will continue to serve as the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Her term has expired, but again, there's been no appointment by the Wisconsin Elections Commission on any kind of a replacement, nor will there be one. Senate Republicans held this vote in September to fire Wolf despite objections and despite my claim that it was basically all in their imagination. And then they had to admit it because Attorney General Josh Call filed suit to challenge that vote. And Republicans in response had to, you know, be truthful and say that their vote to fire Wolf was merely symbolic and that they knew that it had no legal effect. Now, they're still asking a judge to order the Elections Commission to appoint a new administrator for the Senate to vote on, Megan Wolf or somebody else, but there's no indication that that's going to be happening. So it's nice to see, like so many things, including the, you know, the Trump fraud trial, that sometimes these things take a very long time to find justice. But then you get cases like this that are thankfully just a little bit faster and we don't have to drag out the drama. But as for the Trump trials, well, that's another matter altogether, where we're going to have all three of his oldest children testifying at some point in his New York business fraud trial, and then Trump himself next week. Although based on social media posts from last night or over the weekend, I don't know, that gag order thing, there might be some drama this week about Trump because he can't shut up. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us next as we continue on a Monday morning on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Well, it's like sugar to my soul.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Over the weekend, Israel launching what it's calling the second phase of its latest war against Hamas. ABC's Justin Finch reports from Washington.
The Israeli Defense Force is bolstering its Gaza ground offensive against Hamas militants, dispatching armored tanks into the Palestinian territory. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying Israel is now in an expanded second phase of war. The Israeli PM and President Biden speaking via phone, with Biden saying Israel needs to defend itself in a manner consistent with international humanitarian law.
Anti-Israel protesters storming an airport tarmac in western Russia. Hundreds of people surrounding a flight from Tel Aviv after it landed in Dagestan, a primarily Muslim region, throwing rocks, 60 people arrested. The Los Angeles County coroner waiting for a toxicology report to determine the cause of death of Friends actor Matthew Perry. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge has blocked a move by state lawmakers to remove the state's top election official. Attorney General Josh Call filed the lawsuit after the state Senate voted to remove Megan Wolf from the position. In a court filing, Republican leaders said that the vote was symbolic. While today's motion isn't the final ruling on the matter, the judge ruled that Wolf is allowed to continue serving as the state's election administrator until they make a final decision. Penalties could be on their way up for assaulting or doxing an election official in Wisconsin. A new bipartisan bill would also keep people from looking up clerks' phone numbers or addresses through public records requests. Local clerks from across the country say they're facing more and more harassment since the 2020 presidential election. If the bill becomes law, assaulting an elections clerk could mean 18 months in jail. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. 35 today, under cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, snow likely 24. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 21.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th. Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All right, Kristen. Told you, for Simon LeBon's 65th birthday on Friday, you could pick your walk-up music, and then I picked Girls on Film anyway.
I sent you like three selections. I couldn't decide, and then I started listening to old Duran Duran albums. It was fantastic.
Didn't you post about listening to one of the albums like front to back?
Seven and the Ragged Tiger. You know how we used to do that? You would put the album on and you would just listen to it from the beginning to the end. And you knew all the songs in order.
There's nobody under the age of like 35 that understands that at all. For folks watching on the live video feed, Kristen's title today is not OBGYN and show's chief morale officer, but rather president of the Greg Bock Fan Club, because she's also been a regular on As Goes Wisconsin. So, yeah, you get to welcome Greg to the early morning shift now.
This is so much fun. Greg.
Hi, doctor.
Hi. How are you? What do you want to talk about today?
Oh, my gosh.
Prostate issues.
Well, honestly,
sleeping problems.
I'd like to ask you a question about that.
Come on.
I have been getting...
I'll just be over here if you need me.
Pat actually asked this question off the air.
Yeah, well, right. I just heard conflicting information from doctors themselves. Some say 45, some say 50. I'm 40. I'll turn 46 in December. So I kind of want to know what should I be doing?
Oh, so are we talking about colonoscopies?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the old recommendation was age 50.
Yeah.
And a couple years ago, they changed it to 45.
Okay.
So that's the recommendation from the Professional Society. Some insurance companies haven't caught up yet, so they're not reimbursing yet for people under 50. Yeah, so even though the doctors are saying it should be 45, the insurance companies are like, not so fast. This happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. You can get it now. We'll pay for it in 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Had my first at 50, and then they recommended back then it was, you know, every 5 years. Maybe it's still every 5 years, but at the 5 year mark, you know, that was like, well, you actually have no indicators. You're clean as a whistle. So you can wait till 60. So I've got that to look forward to next year.
Pat Kreitlow, clean as a whistle.
Clean as a whistle.
Very changed your colonoscopy.
Always have to reprint these business cards as I get all of these new titles. Hey,
well, wait a minute. One more really important thing.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a colonoscopy. There are other ways that you can do your colon cancer screening if you're low risk. So talk to your doctor about different options. A lot of people get really freaked out about the idea of a colonoscopy, but there are other things you can do. Many of us have seen the ads for Cologuard. That is an option for many people.
That's a real, okay. So that's because nowadays you see things on TV. And it's easy to say, here's an easy way to do X, Y, and Z when it comes to your health. I'm like, I would rather just talk to a doctor than listening to a talking box that's animated in a commercial.
Greg,
judgment.
The box does not actually talk. You're okay.
Also Cologuard was developed in Wisconsin those of us who have Wisconsin pride.
It was originally called Cologuard.
Well, here's the exciting part about, and we're going to talk to Missy Hughes in our next hour from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation about this, Wisconsin being named a technology hub. And Kristen, we talked briefly about this last Thursday, but the Wisconsin group is going to take this in the direction of personalized health. And these kinds of colon screening tests are kind of an example of, rather than one size fits all medicine that you can, or testing or whatever, they're going to try to improve the diagnostics, and then they're going to try to more personalize the individual treatments. And so, you know, there's just there've been nice advances, but there's going to be so many more down the pipeline.
I probably shouldn't say pipeline after your colonoscopy. I'm sorry.
Nice.
It is really exciting, though, to see what is on the cusp of medicine. But I mean, to be very honest, we have so many problems right now. We can't afford the medicine that we are currently
so true.
Offering and trying to get. I mean, there are just so many barriers that this is really exciting. But, you know, come on.
You know, the one that I think about, and now I'm going way back, but, you know, pregnancy tests. Not sure what was the line that was used all the time when we were kids, like the rabbit died.
Yes.
And what was the story there? That what is it that they have to,
like,
to
what? Do? Like Greg.
Oh, good. So Greg's back, about to. Okay.
Back in the day when someone declared that they were pregnant, kind of a funny thing to say was the rabbit died, because the pregnancy test that we didn't have just a pee on a stick kind of pregnancy test. You had to do this like big fancy test that used, I don't know, rabbit hormones or something.
Had and to go murder a rabbit.
Yes. Well, it was something about you injected it into a rabbit, and if the rabbit died, you were pregnant, something like that. I don't know exactly. But so the rabbit died was a common way back in the 60s and
that
earlier
was the euphemism.
Saying that somebody that was pregnant.
Yes. Honestly, Greg, we're not making this.
No, I'm not. I mean, I went to Catholic school. The euphemism was she transferred schools.
She's living with her sister. Yeah. Yes. We're very familiar with that. You are back from Broadway, not performing, though someday, I wouldn't doubt, Kristen, for all the shows that you do on the stage in Green Bay. But as somebody, you got to meet Josh Groban.
Yeah. We went to go see Sweeney Todd and we saw the Book of Mormon. And it's a thing when you go to these Broadway shows that you, if you are a super fan and you want to meet those people who are performing, you stand outside the stage door. And luckily, my 17-year-old, who is a theater kid, was really like almost like a whole other human being. He was so excited. And luckily, Josh Groban came out. We got an autograph and he now has a framed Josh Groban Sweeney Todd poster in his bedroom.
Oh, that's so cool. Great.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Was that your first time seeing the Book of Mormon?
No, my third.
Your third? Yes. I don't blame you. I'd see it three. I've only seen it once. I would see it three times.
Yeah.
That was really good. What do you, if you could have stayed for one more show, what would you have seen?
Oh, I haven't seen Hamilton yet.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah,
I saw it in Chicago, and
same here. Yeah,
I play. Yep. My wife is not a huge fan of theater, and it was also, it's not a cheap ticket. So she bought it for me for an anniversary years ago, and she goes, "I got you the ticket. I can't go with you," but I'm like, that's fine. I'll go. And I went and sat by myself in the theater, and I played a game with myself. Said, "How long till Greg Bach cries? 15 seconds." The music is just, I mean, I know I'm not saying anything groundbreaking here, but
no,
the music
not.
Is
no.
just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And every, just like it, first time he said Alexander Hamilton, I can't even say it. It was just,
he's all verklempt.
Yep. I was verklempt. I'm done.
Yep. And I would say again that for folks who haven't seen the show and don't know if they're ever going to go see the show, just go ahead and listen to the soundtrack, because that is most of the show. You'll get it. The star of the show is the music.
Yeah.
You know, say what you will about the characters, and they're wonderful actors, but I mean, they're all singing the parts. So the soundtrack is worth it to listen to. I'm not saying that you will listen to it as frequently as, say, Kristen on a Duran Duran album, but pretty darn close here. Kristen, go ahead.
One of the fun things about being on Broadway is it's not just about the Hamiltons and the Book of Mormons, but it's about all the little things that are there. And they just happen to be playing this short, it's like a 90-minute show about the making of Jaws and what happens during the time that the mechanical shark was broken down and how all the actors were behind the scenes imbibing a little bit and arguing. And the whole show is about that. And it's supposed to be fantastic. I don't know.
I love behind the scenes things like that. Oral histories. You know, one of my favorite books of the past few years was one that was an oral history of ESPN. of getting it off the ground. And then there was an oral history of The Daily Show. And again, I don't remember who the authors are,
yeah. But
I love these that they look back now and say, you know, I can't believe this worked, you know, uh-huh. as they tell all the various stories of things going in fits and starts. Speaking of behind the scenes things, I'd like Greg to take us behind the scenes of a comedy stand-up routine for a second.
God.
Because, well, I'll tell you why. I'm going to give you a specific what happened to us, and I want you to kind of expound on it.
Yeah.
My wife and I went to a comedy club in the Twin Cities, not this past weekend, the weekend before.
Was it Acme?
And, no, it was What's-Its-Face in Mall of America.
Improv?
It's part of a chain. No, it's part of a
Zanies. I'm just going to keep saying the comedy names.
Yeah, till we come up with the one. So, and we'd been to the Mall of America Comedy Club since the Mall of America opened 30 years ago. So we're not strangers to it. And we've had some great shows there. A couple of good early acts. And then out comes the headliner. And I'll spare him for the moment of naming him. But I kind of recognize the name. But it was he announced it basically from the moment he came out. He said, and I think it was in part because he saw that the room wasn't full. It was a weirdly quiet Saturday night this time around. I think he was a little unhappy about that. It was his last set of, you know, six sets in three nights. And he says something like, well, you know, I'm just going to try out some new stuff on y'all. And basically he was just reading out of a notebook. And what he was reading was all headlines and commenting on the headlines. And I could tell from the get-go, this was not what you would call a current events crowd, shall we say. let's just say if you restricted their guide to their favorite channels, none of them would be news channels. And so he's given all these news headlines. Sherry and I are laughing because they're pretty good, but the rest of the crowd is just like, I don't know
wah,
who that
per-
yeah I don't what is this Ukraine you're talking about, you know, or something like that.
When are you gonna start making fun of women?
Yeah, he was, you know, of course, doing the playful insulting of the crowd along as one thing is bombing after another. But it is kind of a conscious decision, isn't it, at some point, that you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to go out and try this new stuff, and if it bombs, it bombs. You got to learn someplace.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that comes with years of performing, is that, you know, I don't want to say that, like, I don't want to insult the audience who is in the room or the people who paid money, but this show was probably this comedian's 5,000th show.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to have another show this Thursday, and they're going to have another show Friday, and another show Saturday. So for one set, and it's a small room, it's the last show, they're going to have some fun for themselves. And honestly, at the end of the show, they probably walked off stage like, all right, try it. And they go back and they drink their drink or they eat their food or whatever. Yeah, it's
look, I get that it happens, but then you go to, like, we saw Kathleen Madigan Claire, a couple of weeks back, and, you know, again, Sherry and I are two of her biggest fans, and she listens to her podcast religiously every week, and so you see that it's all polished and everything, and then when you see this guy who, again, he's not an amateur, but he's clearly not having a great night. I mean, we were still entertained. We got our money's worth just watching him sweat his way through this thing. But I really could never do what you do.
Part of it too, though, is knowing your audience.
Yeah.
Like, if those things weren't hitting with that audience, then, you know, it might not be a bad idea to switch up and try some different new material.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is it all comes down to, like, the comedian themselves who's standing on stage. Or some comics who will never do what you saw. They'll always do their material for... They might be working on a special. They might be working on a joke. They might just be like, I'm not going to just BS on stage because these people paid money for it. Or, you know, I mean, the thing is, like, as a comedian, I can stand in the back of the room and watch it happen. And I've told my friends, this is like, you go to going to a bad improv show, improv comedy, like a Whose Line Is It Anyways? That's a painful experience. Mm-hmm. Going to a bad stand-up show can be absolutely hilarious.
It really can.
Because if you're a fan or you understand the mechanics, then it's just like, let's watch how, like, we did a show on Saturday night at the Tap, and the headliner goes, sometimes there are shows that are on the rails and go off. Sometimes there are shows that are off the rails and come back on. this show was never near the rails, you know, but it was still fun.
This show was a steamship that is trying to be on rails, and it's just not working out that way.
Yeah.
Kristen, in the 60 seconds I have here, I'm going to just, I don't even need 60 seconds because I know the answer is duh, but I'm going to read the headline anyway. Post-Dobbs, despite all the state bans, legal abortions did not fall nationwide in the year after Dobbs. In fact, they rose very slightly. I'm not surprised.
Duh.
That's your medical opinion.
And that doesn't include people who were ordering abortions online and getting them outside of the country, which is a substantial number.
Yeah. And we've seen plenty of times that during, you know, Republican presidencies, the number of abortions have gone up, Democratic have gone down, because you have access to care, access to information. That makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And then that gets into the whole, hey, if you really want to be pro-life, how about being pro-kids? But that takes us down something that we'll do on another segment. In the meantime, we've got today's history lesson and music break coming up in just 60 seconds. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Again, sometimes these birth dates throw me. Grace Slick. Happy birthday, Grace Slick. 84 years old today.
Wow.
Where do the years go? From Jefferson Airplane and from Starship. And we'll hear a little bit more of her coming up in just a bit here. Selena Heller joining us as well from Eau Claire, from Up North News. Good morning, Ms. Heller. How are you?
Good morning.
All right. Good. Look at that. Selena, meet Greg. Greg, meet Selena.
Hello, Selena.
Hello.
Greg operating the board for us now. Selena and I worked together at TV 13 for what felt like 35 years back in the day. And which is weird because she's 36 years old.
I was going to say.
Yep. And we have the obligatory, this time there's not even a hint of whiskers. Is he okay? I'm not seeing a tail. You don't have to go get him again. That's okay. Okay. Is he okay with Halloween? Does he get like scared easily or of the decorations and the costumes or?
No. Oh, okay. He's over by, we have the foster kittens now.
Oh yeah. So foster kittens. Okay.
Yeah. He's and monitoring them.
How are they working out?
Very good. They're very good little kitties. So.
Prove it. Hold your hands up. I don't look for scratches and bite marks. Let me see.
We even gave them a bath. No scratches.
Oh, these are keepers. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Don't just foster them.
They leave
them.
Our house with baths and they can read, you know, stories because we have them reading. And
Those cats are going to be well trained, ready to rock and roll. A couple more birthdays here. Let's listen to a little bit of Timothy B. Schmidt, who turns 76 today.
Sorry, here we come. It's my first day. It's my first day.
It's all right. It's all right. It's there we go.
As we stroll along together.
Okay, this would normally be where I'd play one of the many Eagles songs that he sang on. But he also had this as a solo hit back in the 1980s at some point. Timothy Beachman of the Eagles is 76. While that plays in the background, I'm going to tell you that Eddie Holland is 84 today. You're not going to necessarily know the name Eddie Holland, but if you know Motown at all, you know about the team of Holland, Dozier, Holland, two of them brothers, who wrote so many Motown tunes from 1962 to 1967. Stop in the Name of Love, You Keep Me Hanging On, Baby Love, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You, Standing in the Shadows of Love. There was a lot of love going on in Motown.
So much love.
So much love. Also, The Temptations, Otis Williams. Otis is 82 today. The Fonz, Henry Winkler, is 78. Fonzie is 78 years old.
I didn't think he'd be younger than Gray Slick.
No. And yet there he is. Yeah. Yep. Ivanka Trump is 42. Happy birthday as you testify against daddy on Thursday in court. And former second president John Adams was born this day in 1735. On this day in 1982, Men at Work, the Australian band, went to number one with this hit. Oop. On this day in 1938, Orson Welles broadcast a radio adaptation of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, causing a massive panic in some parts of the United States. On this day in 1987, George Michael released his first solo album. Here's the title track off of Faith.
So much happening.
We throw the whole obstacle course at him right away.
This is
not the title track, but this is
nope, here we go. One of the
thing I
all
like
I
is
can
we
think
were...
of is his butt.
Of course you can. The video, yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Selena woke up like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. The tush on the... that young man.
I was going to say, the music's like we were talking about records to Sam back on Friday. And it's like, Greg's got one of the turntables. I'm just going to move that needle here. Nope. I'm going to put it over here. Nope. It's the old K-Tel days, you know? On this, what is today? This is National Checklist Day, National Publicist Day, National Treat Your Pet Day, which, by the way, where are your cats, Krista?
Right outside the window, pawing and trying to get in.
This is National Candy Corn Day. I'll probably wait till tomorrow and talk about that with Christina Lori because I know she's doing something in the newsletter on that alleged food. And and finally.
I knew I liked you, Pat.
I see. You're going to love tomorrow then. And then finally, today, and again, I don't know why some of these days. I mean, you get why it's Candy Corn Day and over the weekend was National Black Cat Day. But today is Text Your Ex Day.
What? That's just not even good advice.
I love all three of you right now. Nope.
Hard
nope,
pass.
Nothing.
That's a hard pass, Pat.
That's a hard pass.
That's
hard
weird. No. You always have to think, like, where did these days come from? Who is sponsoring right. this day?
Somebody's ex did. You're like, you know what? I really think that I think I should text my ex. Let's make this a day.
Just text me one time, we'll get back together. No, it does not work that way.
Tomorrow's National Restraining Order Day.
Oh, God, no. Let's see. What is Roger sends in a note to us as well. Country music birthday twins, T. Graham Brown and Jeannie Kendall of the Kendalls. They would be 79 years old. Jeannie was the first concert I saw when I was 12 years old. All right. Aww. Thank you for that. And we get this from Janet. About the colonoscopy, had my first one 22 years ago when I was 53. A few cancer cells were found, no subsequent chemo needed, had a few more over the years. Things have advanced so much over the years. So, Greg, chill. It's an easy in and out process.
In and out.
For the record, yep. I am very chill about this. I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm very much willing to do it. I will do all the things I need to do. I just want to know when I'm supposed to, because like I said, some said 45, some said 50. I want to be clean as a whistle like Pat.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like drinking this stuff is kind of the worst, right?
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that's disgusting.
It's not the drinking.
It's not the drinking of it that is the problem, shall we say. It is. There's times when you go, hey, why is this thing in the bathroom euphemistically called a throne? Well, you find out. You find out the answer to that for a number of hours on end. Anyway, Kristen, Thursday, Hometown Health.
Hometown Health, also As Goes Wisconsin. I'm also running over to the Green Bay studio to do a little bit with Mino and the Mayor.
Wow. So much, Kristen. So much, Kristen. So, yeah, catch her on public service announcement on As Goes Wisconsin Thursdays at 11:05. But Hometown Health here Thursdays at 7:30. We will see you then.
Happy Monday.
All right. And Selena continues with us right after. We get to check on news and your forecast. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow or cooking up a weekend block party, nobody knows our communities better than us. But for the last 12 years, some politicians have carved up our neighborhoods into voting districts that serve their political interests instead of our needs. Now, they want to ram another power-grabbing bill through the legislature so they can control whose vote counts. When it comes to our districts, we draw the line. By joining together in favor of true, fair districting, we can ensure our communities thrive. Call your state senator today to tell them that the legislature should not be allowed to manipulate our district lines, period.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finn.